This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Nathan Zagura joins us from the UH Browns Radio Network. He's the Browns radio analyst, and he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Nathan.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Lima. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Well, you know, the Guardians won last night. We're happy about that. And, we're hopeful for Sunday. Yeah, it was dramatic fashion. We're hopeful for Sunday. How do the Browns go and get a win on Sunday against the Eagles in Philadelphia?
Well, they've just obviously got to be a lot better than they have been through the first 5 weeks of the season. I think if there's one thing that jumps out at you in terms of how can you beat the Eagles, it's take the football away. Jalen Hurts has turned the ball over 7 times this year in 4 games. He's got 27 giveaways since the start of the 23 season. That's the most in the NFL. So I think taking the football away is going to be massively important for this Browns defense and for Rodney McLeod, and hopefully there'll be a lot of takeaways, and you guys can celebrate that on your interview together. But I think defensively that's going to be the key. It's going to be limit the explosives. Last week you had 7 plays against Washington that produced 280 yards, and Philly's going to get healthy. They've got great skill talent. A.J. Brown's back. Devontae Smith is back. Dallas Goedert right now is leading all tight ends in receptions and yards per game. Saquon Barkley's leading everybody in total yards per game. So they've got a lot of weapons. They've got a good big offensive line. I think the way to stop them is really to get Jalen Hurts to turn the football over. He's got 4 picks in 4 games. He's lost 3 fumbles of the 5 times that he's put the ball on the ground. So I think that is going to be key defensively. And then offensively, you just got to flat out be better. You've got to be better in every single aspect of the game. You cannot have pre-snap penalties. You cannot have poor protection. You cannot have an inability to run the football. You cannot throw the ball for less than 4 yards per attempt. There are a lot of things. And when they do throw it accurately, you got to catch the football. So a lot has to change on the offense, and kind of has been the case. You're getting another defense that is very good up front with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. You're getting another defense that can get after the quarterback and one that is not afraid to blitz. In fact, they play more cover zero than any team in the National Football League. And so if you're the Browns and you've struggled with blitzes, you've struggled with stunts and twists, you're going to see those until you prove that you can beat them. Now, teams have been able to throw against this defense all year long, and hopefully that will be true for the Browns. But when you look at who the Browns have played going in, we talk about, oh, man, this is another great matchup for the Browns offense. And yet they have not been able to produce at the level you would expect. And certainly they've been amongst the worst offenses in the National Football League, 32nd in sacks allowed, 30th in passing yards per game, 32nd in total yards per game, 30th in points per game, and 32nd, which is last on third downs.
All right, Nathan, it's been a really tough week when it comes to the film study for the offense, for Kevin Stefanski, and obviously for Deshaun Watson. What have you kind of learned about this offense and why it's been struggling the most over the last week? It's not one thing, obviously. The offensive line needs to be better. The running game, they have none to speak of right now. The motion stuff, they're not doing it as much as the other teams, but when they do, doesn't really work. The RPO has been terrible. So what have you noticed from all the film?
It's just a series of self-inflicted wounds, and I think that, you know, the sequence down at the 2-yard line in Washington was a microcosm of everything, right? First down, you would have a rushing touchdown to the left side for Deontay Foreman, but it is negated by a pre-snap penalty. So there's a pre-snap penalty removing a touchdown. Then you have to use a timeout, which means the operation was not smooth. So that's another thing that's bothered the offense all year. Then you go to second, or now it's first goal from the 7, and Jerry Judy's wide open quarterback misses the read, and it turns into a sack. So what should have been a touchdown turns into a sack ultimately because of a misread. And then on the very next play, Deshaun does a great job getting out of the pocket, throws a dart to Jerry Jeudy in the back of the end zone, hits him right in the hands. He drops it. So you've had a penalty negate a touchdown, you've had a misread negate a touchdown, and now you've had a drop negate a touchdown. And then on third down, the pressure just was too much, had to throw it away. You end up 12 men on the field, another operational issue. You end up kicking a field goal. So I think that is a microcosm of what is going wrong with this football team. It's self-inflicted wounds, pre-snap penalties, misreads, drop passes when the reads are good and the throws are good. It's just really a confluence of events that are all pretty negative that lead to kind of the futility we've seen from the Browns offense. And so it's going to have to come down to, and from a scheme standpoint, sometimes there isn't anything available to the quarterback. At other times, there is a lot available to the quarterback. I think if you go back and watch the turnover where Wagner hits him and it ends up, picking it up in the pocket, you know, Jerry Jeudy was open on that play. So it's just, nothing really seems to be in sync in terms of when it's schemed up well. The Browns are sometimes missing those opportunities. When they do see the opportunities and capitalize on them, there have been a lot of drop passes that have negated a ton of big plays or penalties that have negated big plays. So it's really a lot of things that have to get fixed in a very short period of time for this team to do better. All those little things have become very, very big things for this offense.
Nathan Zagura joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's going on with MJ Emerson? He is falling off a cliff.
I think he's struggling. I think it happens. Players struggle at times, but MJ Emerson, you know, was one of three quarterbacks in the league over the prior two seasons to have, you know, 14 or more passes defense. I think he still is a very good corner. I think that at times, Jim Schwartz in his press conference on Friday said, you know, we ran so many man plays in a row. He was running all over the place, and then he gets lined up one-on-one against a fresh, speedy Dyami Brown. And so when you're in those situations where the guy's got a little more foot speed than you, your technique has to be perfect. Sometimes, I guess, when you're fatigued, it is not as perfect. So I'm not worried about MJ Emerson long term. There's no question that right now he's not playing at the level he was last year. Last year, he didn't allow a single touchdown in coverage. He's already allowed three this year. Last year, you know, he was top of the league in terms of completion percentage allowed, rating allowed, forced incompletions, all of it. And this year he's struggling. But I think he will get it back. I know he is an incredibly hard worker. I know it is frustrating to him. And I'm not worried about MJ Emerson long term.
That's part of the reason I think I'm so down. It's just like, man, he was so good. And I'm like, I'm looking for answers. I'm just looking for answers, Nathan. And that's like,
it's also been so part of it is also matchups, right? Like, MJ is incredibly good against, think about, nobody's played Mike Evans better in the league. When Mike Williams for the Chargers was one of the better receivers in the league, he played him well. So he plays those bigger, DK Metcalf, he played incredibly well, got an interception against him in Seattle. Those bigger physical receivers, that's what he's best with. Malik Nabers is going to be a very tough cover for him because he's quicker and he's shiftier. That is a tough matchup. And I think as you saw in the second half, the Browns in that game kind of made the decision that, okay, we're going to have Denzel go with Nabers. And I think those are some of the things they need to do. So they say styles make the fights a lot of times. MJ Emerson is a great corner in most matchups, but there are certain situations and matchups that will be challenging for him. And we've seen that be exploited at times this year.
All right, Nathan, it's a prediction I made that is not necessarily going to be a fun one to talk about, but I did tell Ken earlier in the week that I think if Deshaun struggles and the offense struggles to the level it did last week, I do think there's going to be a quarterback change in the middle of the game. I wonder about a locker room and how they feel, especially a veteran locker room, one of the oldest starting groups in the entire NFL. Do you think that could be on the table as early as this week?
I have no idea.
I know. It's not fun.
I mean, I have no idea. That's not a question that I would have any qualification to answer whatsoever.
Well, just I guess I'm looking at it from the perspective of trying to figure out, right? We're trying to figure out what's going on. All the film gurus this week have been saying, yeah, you know, maybe this offense isn't perfect for Deshaun, but the layups, he's not making the layups. And that's the thing we keep coming back to is, man, if even from a clean pocket, he's not able to convert some of these throws and he has some of the worst clean pocket accuracy percentages in the entire NFL, then how can you have him conduct an offense with so much season left?
I think that if things continue down the path that they have continued down, everything will be evaluated, and I would imagine changes will be made because the idea of continuing to do the same thing and expecting a different outcome, as we all know, is not likely to happen, and there's a word for that. So I think anything is on the table. This is a team that was built to win a Super Bowl. This is a team that they pushed all the chips in. They expect to be competing for the division title, and as I said, into the postseason right now. That feels very, very far away at 1-4, knowing that you got to go on the road to Philly and then come home for Cincinnati and Baltimore the next 2 weeks. So I think that, you know, everything, they're constantly evaluating everything. And I think that it is, there are so many things going wrong that it is not one person's issue, but at the same time, that is the most important position in sports. And so you hope that Deshaun can elevate his play and then thus elevate everything around him.
Aaron Rodgers said that he'd had no hand in getting Robert Saleh fired. Do you believe him?
So the part of it that is hard for me to get my head around, okay, I'm just going to lay out a couple of things that we know to be true at this point, right?
Ooh, this is
we
juicy.
Know that Robert Saleh was escorted out of the building by security, was not allowed to address his team or his coaches once it was told that he was fired, right? We all agree that that is, as mm-hmm. we know it from the mm-hmm. telling of the story.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that he went in that morning and was able to have his normal meeting with the coaches, and that at that meeting he removed Nathaniel Hackett from the play calling responsibilities. Right? All been reported to. 5 minutes after that meeting, he's fired and escorted out of the building by security. I find it hard to believe that in the time that he showed up to work that morning and was allowed in the building and allowed to meet with his coaches, that Woody Johnson then decided, you know what, actually, we're firing him and he's going to be removed by security. Don't you think that if Woody Johnson, who's the owner, said that he did this all on his own, if he was firing him, that's probably not a decision that happens in the morning. It's probably something that he knew he was going to do, right? So he would have done that and said, you know what, actually, you're fired, and he's escorted out by security, which means why would they ever let him in the building in the first place? So it feels like something had to change in that meeting. What changed in that meeting? Nathaniel Hackett's removed from play calling. Who's Nathaniel Hackett? Why is he there? Best buds with Aaron Rodgers. So from a circumstantial evidence standpoint, something doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense he'd be allowed in the building to have his normal meeting with his coaches and only to get fired and escorted out by security without getting to talk to anybody after that meeting. So that's where my head is at. That's what I don't understand, how we got from A to B there.
Something stinks.
Yeah.
Something stinks bad over
yeah,
there.
I mean, listen, of course. And it's, we've got our own issues trying to find a way to win football games, but that is certainly a very interesting scenario that has unfolded there in New York, to say the very least. And I think, you know, you're able to go, Aaron Rodgers is able to go on McAfee show and stay his narrative on what it is and act, you know, completely shocked and appalled and wounded that people would even insinuate he had something to do with it, when just the timing of events is very suspect. It's very suspect.
Nathan Zagura with us on the hotline. Who is the second best team in the AFC?
The best team being the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, that's that
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
That's what I am putting forth. I guess you can reject that premise if you'd like.
Well, they know how to win. I mean, at the end of the day, what is the NFL about? It's about winning. Are they winning? Is it beautiful offensive football? No. Are they battered on offense? Absolutely. But they know how to win. When it comes down to it, they know how to win. There was a crazy stat I came across, too, when getting ready for a game against the Eagles. So Jalen Hurts has the second longest streak in the NFL of at least one giveaway in a game. 9 straight games he's had a giveaway. The actual longest active streak in the NFL is 10 by Patrick Mahomes. And so despite the fact that he's turned the ball over in more consecutive games than any quarterback in the NFL, and we always hear, turnovers are king, they know how to win. So, yes, they are. I think they're the best team until somebody proves otherwise. I think the second best team right now in the AFC is probably Baltimore because Lamar is playing at an incredible level. They're still not great, but when they dismantled the Bills the way they did, it's hard to argue that they wouldn't be number two. I like what I've seen from Houston, but I think probably Baltimore would be number two right now. Who do you guys think?
Well, I was going to ask you a question about the NFC. I think Baltimore might be number two in the AFC. But
I'd go with Baltimore. The Texans, Ken made a big case for the Texans.
But that was for seven in heaven. That's playoff stuff. We see all the time. There's teams that are seeded. They are not the very best. They just happen to be at the right place at the right time in the right division. So that's kind of where I see it, Nathan. Let me ask you about Minnesota. Did they show anything? I was at those practices. Did they show anything to you in the summer that would show you they would be this good? I mean, forget Darnold. If you want to bring Darnold into it, but he was just taking over. Remember, J.J. McCarthy got hurt right before they got here. Like, what have they done?
Well, I think it's a couple things. I think that, Sam's obviously gotten all the reps. Kevin O'Connell's done a great job with them. Offensively, you've got Justin Jefferson. Addison's a good player. And then we really, in a training camp scenario, you don't really get to see the impact a guy like Aaron Jones would make on that football team. Because you don't really actually run and see what broken tackles are, any of those things. But I think he's been a boon there. What I did see in that was their defense. And what I'm talking about is, and at the time, much was made about, the Browns' offensive performance over the course of those 2 days, and it was a lot of the focus was, it's on the Browns' offensive line. They were so bad. Well, I think it was a combination. It turns out two things were true that day, that the Browns' offensive line was certainly a struggle through five games at a historic level. They've allowed more quarterback hits through five games than has ever been seen before. And that stat first became tracked in the year 2000, as Conan O'Brien likes to say, in the year 2000. So this is the worst since in 24 seasons. But you saw Brian Flores' defense's ability to confuse and just come and bring the house. They blitz more than anybody in the league by a wide margin. Yes, they give up some big plays, but they absolutely are wrecking teams. And I think their defense was the one thing that really stood out to me when watching them in those joint practices. And at the time, you're saying to yourself, are they just that good? Jonathan Grenard, was a great signing for them, but they lost Daniil Hunter. But their ability to disguise and come and the physicality with which they played, I thought that was pretty apparent in those joint practices. And that is the thing that's carried over. I don't think anybody – there's nothing that anybody could have seen that would have led you to believe that Sam Darnold was going to be, having one of the best starts to the season in terms of a quarterback and rating and touchdowns, interceptions, all of those things. I don't think anybody would have seen that coming. Because the first day, I don't even know if they completed a pass against our defense. The second day, they came back and it was a pretty even matchup. But there was no indication there, but the indication was that this defense of Minnesota was going to surprise a lot of people, and it certainly has.
Nathan, we thank you very much. I'll talk to you on Sunday morning, friend. All the best.
All right, you got it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Nathan Zagura, the Browns Radio Network on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You want to go to Guardios right now? Guardios. Do you want to go to Guardios right now, or do you want to go right back to the well here on something else? On social media?
I'm good with the Guardians.
You sure?
Why?
Well, he says he doesn't hear or see any of the calls for him to be benched.
Oh, man.
He being Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. Boy, the longer we have Deshaun Watson, the less I know about him. So that might be true. That might be completely true. Like, we know for a fact Kevin Durant is on social media every day. And he plays video games.
On many accounts.
With strangers and talks sports with strangers every day. Deshaun Watson... I literally know nothing about the starting quarterback of the Browns and what he does in Cleveland. I don't know if he cares about that stuff. I know he has a lot of accounts blocked. He has a lot of us blocked. He has a lot of fans blocked.
Does he have the whole show blocked?
And by the way, I didn't criticize him for that. I didn't – like, good if that helps you stay focused. If you would think that that would get into your mind – now, part of me might make the argument like they're bigger fish to fry. Like, what are you paying attention to that stuff for? But, I've had to block a few accounts over the years, very few, but I've had to do it. So if they're a distraction, I understand that. With all that said, do you see what I mean? I don't know anything about Deshaun Watson and if he would see those calls. I know he hears the boos. He gets booed almost damn near every home game over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So I do know he has to hear that. That has to be weird to him.
There's no way he doesn't hear it because, again, the quarterback coach, he gets into it with people on social media. There's no way there's not venting that goes on. All right? And the guy, and there's plenty of times where he gets in with people where the quarterback doesn't deserve it. I'll tell you that. But there are times where, hey, he's not playing very well. There's no way on earth he doesn't hear that. He can't tell us he hears that because you just can't do that. You can't admit that you hear that because it's just going to be that much worse. But when he goes out there in the home game coming up next week, if he's still starting, I mean, this is a big one here coming up Sunday, man. I mean, there's been so much conversation, so many questions. I do think that some people just don't want him to play here. But I think there's been so many questions here that, yeah, if they go out there and they just start getting boat raced again and this thing looks listless again and I see wide receivers shaking their heads and the defensive guys start to shake their heads, you're either going to have one or two things. You're either going to sit him or you are going to have a sideline blow up like people thought that they were getting on Sunday. And it was explainable that, hey, you had time that was still on that clock, but you had 12 guys in the huddle. It was explainable, even though it's like, man, you guys get out of the huddle and run plays with 15 seconds anyway. Regardless, that was explainable. This is going to be one that you can't explain. This is going to be a full-on, there is a problem with one guy and another, and it's probably going to be the quarterback, and then you are going to have a real thing that you have to put out here. So it's going to go one or two ways if it keeps going poorly. So you got to find a way to get this thing to go well. And I don't know how you do it, because in all the sayings, I haven't been able to use one hand washes the other in a while, except for 2021. One hand washes the other. By the time we get to the third and fourth quarter, he's already been running for his life so much, he's already running into sacks because he's seeing the ghosts. So he might start off confident on Sunday, and then if Philadelphia gets to him, which they have a pretty good front four, they have a pretty good defense. If they get to him and he's running for his life again, he'll start running himself into sacks. He'll start not seeing the field. You'll have the Jerry Jeudy left open in the end zone, even though he dropped the pass earlier. Like, you will have
Kenny,
these things that happen.
The killer is he couldn't slice and dice the Raiders or Washington in the end. I mean, the Raiders, he had, you know, nice moments, like we said, but he should be able by now, you know, even on those clean pocket throws. And I know there aren't as many as we'd like because the offensive line has definitely hurt the offense and hurt Deshaun Watson. But when he does have time, make the most of those opportunities, and he's doing the least.
And it's so ugly and apparent to everybody. Like, Mary Kay Cabot comes on yesterday, and I had to push back a little bit because she's talking about functional football. I can't disagree with her because I also said it after the Raiders game. He plays like that, he ain't going anywhere. That's functional, quote-unquote, functional football.
Yeah, we both were on the same page.
And I will stomp my feet and get mad and pull my ears out and hold my breath and start screaming. It ain't going to make a damn bit of difference because there's too much money left on that contract. You will get to a point where functional can't get it. Once that money gets lowered and you get past 2025, then functional goes out the window. Then it's like, man, you better do it. But if he continues to play functional, yeah, Mary Kay is right. Don't go after the messenger there. She's right. He ain't going anywhere. Nobody would go anywhere. Maybe the coach, maybe the general manager. I have no idea, but more than likely not. Am I being soft if I say I agreed with Anthony in Cleveland Heights earlier this morning? Am I being soft if I say that it's already a successful season? I feel like I shouldn't say it right now because if I say it right now, I think it can lead a listener to believe that I'm thinking they're going to lose. I don't think they're going to lose. I don't know if they're going to win. I think this is truly a toss-up. Scoobles good. I think you can hit him. I think you can. And since you've seen him already earlier this week, I think there's a better opportunity for you. Just like, hey, they saw Tanner Bibee earlier this week, and they went out and they hit Tanner Bibee better last night. So I think you do have a better chance against Tarek Skubal.
Well, we love that it's at home. Obviously, that's
truly
a big deal.
Yes.
So, but I don't. Hey, we're talking hypotheticals, and we're wondering, you know, this season, which I have consistently talked about being a really good season. Like, if you weren't having fun this season, then I just don't understand the way that you watch baseball. This has been such a cool year. But I got to admit, I shouldn't have been as naive as this because I should have known this was going to happen. Once the playoffs started, once you got to know the Tigers, once you started to build up hatred for the Tigers, now I'm like, we can't possibly lose this game. Oh my God, we can't lose to this team. And on a Twitter reaction, X reaction, as always, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Mobland says you'd be losing to a team in your weight class, and that would sting.
It would sting.
Man, the Tigers were supposed to be a team we were better than. the whole year. I know we're 7-6.
Not the whole year. Not the whole year.
What do you mean?
They were supposed to be better at the outset of the season.
Oh, okay. But I'm saying once the season got underway.
They traded away their number two pitcher.
Yeah, and they sold at the deadline.
Detroit Tigers. And I have no idea.
They brought up a bunch of mud hens.
Hey, you're playing their AAA team. And you know, you staved off elimination yesterday. Thank God. I don't know how
According to TBS, are the greatest collection of pitchers since the 90s Braves. Right. So, sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
This does feel like, to me, though, just like we talked about during the basketball playoffs, had the Cavs lost to Orlando, we had people debating on whether it was still a successful season because it's so hard to make the playoffs or not. And I was under the whole, you picked your opponent, essentially.
You can't lose
to
them.
You have to beat them, right? I'm in the same boat with this, although you didn't pick your opponent here. But still, you didn't push for that one seed on that last week. We made changes to the pitching rotation. I don't want to compare it in that sense, but I've gotten a week now to learn which Tigers I plan on hating for the next decade. And Jake Rogers is one of them.
Yeah, definitely.
He won't have that stupid mustache next year. He'll have a beard. I didn't know he didn't have
it. Guys, it's not an adult film stash. It's not. It's a big mustache. Adult film mustaches are more wispy. They're not like that. You can't just call every mustache an adult film stash. That's not how that works. It's a great, big, bushy mustache. It's not the type of mustache. I mean, go back and look at pictures that are clothed of John Holmes and tell me that that's the same mustache as Jake Rogers. Guys, come on. I know my history.
Well, compare it to Manzardo's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.